They weren't expecting me up here yet. Just to let everyone know how this is, how we're planning on doing this tonight, it is our monthly prayer meeting. So we will be, the first part of the service will be prayer, our normal worship and then prayer. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go into communion. So the first part of the service will be worship and prayer, and then communion will be later. So if you're waiting for a normal service to begin, that's not what's happening here tonight.
If we could just all stand and just worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, God, for you are great and mighty, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You are mighty, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we honor you tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, for every stripe upon your back, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I worship you. You are mighty, Lord. You are my King, oh Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Nothing can separate. Even if I run away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes. You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And with the ocean rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Nothing can separate. Even if I run away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes. You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. The joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. All things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Your love never fails. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to
amazing love.
God is worthy, He is worthy, He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you are so worthy. As we prepare for we're going to go into communion in a little bit. Brother Seidel will be doing that part of the service. But as Brother Seidel mentioned, we want to take some time to also pray, to come together, to stand in the gap, and to pray. You know, I don't know about you, but I know in my spirit, something's changing in the atmosphere. Jesus is preparing to come back. I feel it. I know it. And it, whether it's this month, whether it's next year, whether it's 10 years from now, I just know He's coming back. And I want to live every day as if it could be today. Pastor's been talking about boldness. Boldness. And ever since he introduced that topic to us, I have been praying for boldness. I don't just want to be bold in my attitude and my actions and my confidence, but I want to pray bold prayers, prayers that only Jesus can answer. Because if I can do it, I don't need to pray. I can just do it. But I want prayers that only Jesus can do. Acts chapter 4, the apostles find themselves in quite a predicament. They have been told to be silent. They have been told to stop healing people. They have been told to stop talking about Jesus. We're not too far off, folks. That day is coming to us too. It's already in other countries. What will we do? We'll do what they did. They didn't retreat. They didn't stop. As a matter of fact, they went right back out on the street after they prayed. And what did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common." Paul, the author of Hebrews, also says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I've heard it said that we will not know, you know, people will say, "Well, what will you do if you get persecuted or you get thrown into jail? Or what if somebody comes and arrests you?" I don't know. Until that time, we will never know how great his grace is. But this I do know, he has never forsaken me in 42 years. He is not going to forsake me in the next 10 years. He will not forsake me if I am told to silence my voice. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know that no matter what happens, there is a boldness and a confidence in my spirit. Boldness in the biblical sense is not a personality trait. A typically soft-spoken, introverted, calm person can be bold at a time when typically driven, outspoken, brash person shrinks back. Boldness is acting by the power of the Holy Ghost on an urgent conviction in the face of some threat. I don't know what the enemy has been holding over your head. I don't know what he's been threatening you with, but I'm telling you now, get on your feet, look to the Lord, and say, "Not today, devil, not today. I have a mansion prepared for me. My intention is not to quit now, but I am going to keep pressing. I am going to keep putting one foot in front of the other because I have a goal." And boldness only comes through prayer. The only way that you will have boldness is to ask God for boldness. Pastor, again, as I said, has been speaking on boldness, and it begins by praying for it. And as we find ourselves being pushed out of our comfort zone, God is going to challenge us. Don't back off. He goes before you. And each step that you take, you're going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And you will become more confident that it's not our comfort he's looking for. He's looking for his kingdom. His kingdom. Bold prayers are kingdom prayers. Prayers that will bring God's glory, not me, comfort. Prayers that will glorify him alone. Kingdom prayers that prepare for his miracles, signs, and wonders, that he would receive all the glory. Prayers that activate his aid in situations that nothing else will do. Prayers that tear down strongholds and set people free. Prayers that are strategic and in accordance to his plan. God wants to not only activate his church, but empower his people. Power from on high. The praying church, the early church, the prayers of the early church were for wisdom and the revelation of God. That's all they wanted. That's what they needed in that day and that hour, and that's what the church needs today. And right now, if you would just join me in prayer for boldness. Boldness that when God begins to direct us and speak to us, that we will hear his voice and we will act upon it. Sometimes I am hesitant, I'll be honest. But the Lord is beginning more and more to put me in situations where I'm not so hesitant. I am an introvert. I had a fear of doing what I'm doing right now, but I am so confident in this word that I will not be quiet. I will speak his word as he leads me, and I will teach whoever God will lead me to. I will pray for the sick, and I will pray for those who need deliverance, and I know that God will move. If you have a need tonight that only God can move, you don't have to share it if you don't want to. But tonight, before we go into communion, the person next to you, you can move forward. You can come up to the front. If we would just pray together, maybe for about 5 minutes or however the Lord leads us to pray, but to pray for one another in boldness. Pray that God, his kingdom would come and his will would be done. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, for what you are doing, and I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled. This world, it is changing, and it's changing quickly. Lord, you knew that that bridge would be struck. You knew that it was going to come crashing down. You knew, Lord, that that bridge is only 16 miles from our Washington, D.C., and God, you knew what was to come, and it didn't catch you by surprise. And Lord, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to fix the problem, but I do know, Lord, you said to pray for our leaders. You said to pray for those in authority. And tonight, God, I'm going to pray those kingdom prayers. I'm going to pray for my president, my vice president, my senators, my congressmen, my legislatures, those that are making decisions right now, that God, you would lead them, you would guide them, you would direct them. And then, Lord, you would set people up, that God, you would put them in places that as we pray, God, not only for our authority, but as we pray for the people of our nation, Lord, that they too would find a place before the throne of God, that Jesus, there would be a hunger that would be stirred up. Jesus, give us boldness to witness to our neighbor, boldness to witness to those that we encounter every day. Lord, boldness to teach that Bible study that we've been afraid to teach. Boldness, oh God, to tell our neighbor, come on to church on Sunday. That boldness to pray for that child that is so oppressed and addicted to drugs and for alcohol, that God, you would deliver them out of their despair. Jesus, give us boldness. Give us boldness and confidence in the word of God. And Jesus, give me compassion. Compassion that far exceeds any fear that might overtake my mind or my heart. Help me, oh God, to recognize that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but you have given me power. You have given me a sound mind, and you have given me your love. And Jesus, I have confidence in your love, because if not for your love, I wouldn't be here today. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, just have your way tonight. Lord, have your way. God, you have poured out your gifts upon this church. Your gifts are evident in the lives of the people that are in this church. And God, as you have activated those gifts within us, let us, oh God, to go forth in boldness, decently and in order, under our leadership, God. Let us to go forward and to do your will as you continue to equip and send your church In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. Let's lift our hands just for a moment. Good to be in the house of God. Good to feel God's presence. Thank you, Sister Brown. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Lindsay, for ministering to us and leading us in worship and prayer. I was thinking about that when they were up here. My 8 minutes hasn't started yet. The Bible talks about people coming into the house of God, and one has a psalm, another one has a prayer, another one has a word, another one has a gift. That the way the church is supposed to work is that all of the members come together and share what they have to give to the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. In recognition of today as Good Friday, in addition to our prayer meeting, we're also going to share communion. There's some debate about which night of the week Jesus celebrated his last Passover. Pastor Jerry mentioned it on Sunday, that there is even a division among the religious leaders in Jesus' time about which night it should be celebrated. Of course, that was the Passover. I even wonder sometimes if the Jews of that time, they didn't do it like we do at Christmas, where you just found the day that worked best for your family and you all got together on that night, and that's how they did their Passover. Maybe even they had two Passover meals like some of us do for Christmas or even Easter. But it's notable that the Gospels don't record anything about that controversy when they talk about the Last Supper, or as we call it, the Lord's Supper. What the scripture does emphasize is what the Lord's Supper represents. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that Christ is our Passover. The NET version says he's our Passover lamb. Matthew 26 says this, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Mark's record is almost identical. Some of the tense is a little different, but Luke describes it, however, a little differently than Matthew and Mark. Matthew and Mark seem to want to tell what happened as part of their narrative. But in Luke, in chapter 22, he seems to want to tell us more of the significance of this event. Luke 22, 17 through 20 says this, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Most scholars believe that Luke was influenced heavily by Paul the Apostle. So it's no surprise that Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper is very similar to Luke's account. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. "For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Earlier in the same letter, in chapter 10, Paul said this, "I'm speaking to thoughtful people, consider what I say. Is not the cup of blessing that we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? That's what we're doing. Is not the bread that we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Notice in chapter 11, Paul said this, I received this from the Lord. Both Paul and Luke say, do this in remembrance of me. I believe Jesus was saying, remember my sacrifice. Remember my battered body on that cruel cross. Remember the blood that was shed on that fateful day of my crucifixion. I did it for you. Paul focuses on the importance of this thing we call communion. That word communion comes from the word koinonia, the same word that we get the word fellowship from. Fellowship is not the food and drink we share when we set up tents on the church grounds. Fellowship is that supernatural bond that we share as spirit-filled, blood-washed members of the body of Christ. That's what fellowship is. This is why we equate the Lord's Supper with the word communion. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, for just as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so too is Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. If you want to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we're all made to drink of the one Spirit. The blood of Jesus, the blood that he shed on that cross, washes our sins away, never to be remembered. His Spirit, the Spirit that he surrendered with his final breath on Calvary, that Spirit now lives in us. It's what makes us members of the same body, the body of Christ. Jesus wants us to remember the price he paid so that we can be blood-washed, spirit-filled members of the body of Christ. That's why it's so important tonight to make sure that we're at peace with our brothers and sisters when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're remembering and honoring the price that Jesus paid, and we're remembering the communion that it gives us. I'd like the pastors to come, pastors and their wives. We're going to share the bread and the juice. We can use the word wine because the word wine is in the Bible is a generic term. So whatever you call it, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as far as a family is concerned, the parents decide. You can determine whether or not you want your children to partake. That's up to you. That's your decision. We don't believe that communion is confined to those people that are members of Calvary Gospel Church. Communion is that remembrance of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So if you're a believer, I invite you to partake of it and to honor what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Everyone said amen. Preparing for tonight, I looked at some other communion messages, even one of my own. On April 12th in 2020, we took communion during the epidemic. And we weren't all in the same building like we are tonight. But even so, we were one body because his Spirit was alive in all of us. Ephesians 4 says there's one body and one Spirit, just as you two were called to the one hope of your calling. Why don't we stand? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Praise God. We are so different, each one of us. I could look around the auditorium and mention some of the differences, but I won't. because you look at me and you see this, some differences there. But we're all one in Jesus Christ. So before, I guess I ask you to stand a little soon, before we come down and take the elements, I want to ask you to take a moment. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to kneel, whatever you want to do, take a moment. Let's search our hearts. Let's search our hearts, make sure that we are forgiven, as Jesus Christ has promised to forgive us if we repent of our sin. So if there's something in your heart, now's the time to put it under the blood and ask God to reveal it. Maybe there's something you're not even aware of. Take a moment also, just as important, to examine ourselves to make sure that we have not, that we're not only forgiven, but that we have forgiven others, especially our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So just take a moment, however you're comfortable, kneel, sit, and let's bow our heads and let God search us in Jesus' name. Whenever you feel ready, why don't you start filing down to the front here and take the bread and the wine and take it back to where you are. There's no hurry. And we'll wait till everyone is ready. We'll take it together. Praise God. So come on down at this time. Praise God. One of the things I found to be a great blessing when I came into this Pentecostal experience was that this celebration, this commemoration, this act of communion took on much more meaning after I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was also grateful that as a church, we gave it the significance that it deserves rather than just doing it out of habit. Please don't do this out of habit. Take into consideration the price that was paid. Praise God. Praise God. Some churches teach that we take communion for forgiveness. That's not a biblical teaching. The forgiveness comes when we repent and surrender our hearts to God and have our sins washed away in water baptism. But I believe that in this atmosphere, the Spirit of God can move among the body of Christ and there can be miracles. There can be healings. There can be revelation. There can be renewal. God can remind you. The Bible says we should never forget the pit that we came from. God can remind you what it was like before you knew Jesus, before you gave your heart to Him. Praise God. Let the Holy Ghost stir up in you an anointing, a fresh anointing. Let Him renew in you that the day you repented. Renew in you the cleansing of water baptism in Jesus' name. Let Him refresh in you the outpouring of the Spirit that you received the day you first spoke in tongues. All of these things God wants to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for these elders, right? God bless our pastors. Everyone said amen. Continue to pray for Sister Lois and Pastor Roy. Pastor Roy's here, but he's not 100%. My wife is at home. She's not feeling the best tonight. Keep her in prayer. There's some kind of scourge going around. We want to pray for one another in that. Let's believe for healing, even in the moment we partake. So I'm going to read again what it says in Matthew. We'll take the bread together, and then we'll take the juice together. Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body," in Jesus' name. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's drink the cup together in Jesus' name. Can we stand and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. We're gonna worship the Lord together. Please step out from where you are. Go find someone and greet them. Shake hands. Bless someone with a good word. Maybe someone you haven't talked to in a while, someone you never met. Praise God. The fellowship that we have in the Spirit, by the blood, by the body of Christ, is manifest in the fellowship that we share physically and emotionally, verbally with one another. So let's let fellowship be manifest here among us in Jesus' name.